So, Laura, you have written an amazing book, a bilingual book for kids, The Invisible Gift, El Regalo Invisible. Writing in two languages, is that daunting? How have you managed to do it so well? We're really interested to hear about your process here.
Well, I am bilingual from birth because I was raised by an American mother and a Spanish father. But I grew up in Spain, so my strongest language is Spanish, for sure. That's my community language. However, I just love children's picture books in English much better. And I try to read, English stories to my kids. And so what I did is the rhymes and the story came to me in English. I wrote it down and then came the very difficult task of translating it to Spanish. But yeah, I just got a little creative with it.
Yes, so the book, obviously, The Invisible Gift, so the idea is something that you talk about on social media as well. Can you tell us a little bit more about the philosophy behind the book, behind this idea of the invisible gift?
The invisible gift is, it can be so many different things. But when I talk about my bilingual upbringing, people tend to say, oh, you were so lucky. You had someone to speak English to you when you were little. And I always answered, yeah, it was the best gift my parents could give me was, the gift of being bilingual. And then before I became a mom, I wish I could remember who posted this, but it was on Pinterest. And I remember somebody posting, I give my gifts invisible gifts rather than materialistic gifts. And I just always love the concept. And I said, when I become a mom, I'm going to do the same. But I mean, being realistic, I give my gifts, my children's gifts as well, like presents and stuff. But I love the idea of experience rather than, objects. So I focus my Instagram account on all the beautiful things we give our children that are not actually things, experiences, memories, values, time with them, sense of humor, all kinds of things that can be gifts as well.
We're so happy for you. It's absolutely amazing. Can you tell us a little bit about all the success this book has enjoyed?
My goodness. Thank you. That makes me feel so good. What I've been doing is just I've been doing lots of storytellings, cuentacuentos sessions in schools and bookstores. And when people show interest, I just tell them, here's my book and tell me what you think. And I've been so fortunate to have all these wonderful, generous people write reviews for me. I've been so lucky to have so many schools that want to have me over for my bilingual cuentacuentos, and all I can say is that I'm very grateful because a lot of people seem to like it.
That's really cool. I mean, I think it allows you like a different type of interaction with the kids, of course. So the book itself actually has an audio version, and there's a QR code that you can access. And we're very keen on this sort of thing, especially for kids. It's so interactive. So obviously, as a half Irish podcast as well, storytelling is a very important part of Irish literature as well. So do you think, how important do you think it is, for stories to be told, to be narrated to kids?
Oh, that's an excellent question. I once heard a teacher, a very close friend of mine, say, some stories are meant to be read and some stories are meant to be told. And that really stayed with me. And I immediately knew that my book needed an audiobook an audiobook version of it. So especially because it's bilingual, I know that many families like the idea of reading to their kids in another language, but they feel insecure about their accent because they want the accent to sound native. So that's why I wanted to read the book myself And also to have my, at the time, my 6-year-old daughter to play the voice of the main character, to play Fiona's voice. And that was, honestly, that's my favorite part of the book, just having my little daughter's voice in it, in both languages.
The book has an environmental message and speaks about everybody doing their part. And obviously in Valencia here in Spain, very recently, we have seen the negative effects of what happens when we don't look after the environment. Do you feel frustrated that people aren't taking care of the environment more? Or do you feel that it's changing and people are becoming more conscious of this?
Well, it's really hard not to be frustrated. But if we try to focus on the positive and we look at children, I feel that they are so much more aware than I was when I was a little kid. And when I read my book in schools, I see it in my audience. I see it in the children, and I also see it in the teachers. They are like, this message is so important. And also around the concept of zero waste. I didn't even know this was a thing when I was little. And I mean, I won't give up too many spoilers, but the book is about a girl who wants to plan a zero waste birthday party. And I thought maybe the kids won't get it. Maybe the kids won't understand. But every time I go to a school, kids as young as 5 and 6 years old, they understand when they see all the trash, all the plastic in the ocean. And I ask, where does the trash end up? And they all say, yeah, it ends up in the ocean. It's better if we don't produce as much garbage. So I am very hopeful that the new generations, they all get it. It's just up to the lawmakers to make the difference.
Yeah, the way you say it makes a lot of sense, because basically growing up in Spain, yeah, well, I don't know, there was always a mention of pollution maybe when we were little, but not quite to the extent that, you know, obviously it's affecting everybody now, and kids are far more aware of what they should do. And I think even like sometimes you see kids in parks and they're actually telling, you know, the adults, like, don't do that, or you shouldn't do that. Or so, yeah, it's definitely quite a thing. But another aspect to your book, and I think it is incredible as well, because as well as writing, you're an illustrator. Is that right?
Well, a writer and an illustrator, that's hard for me to say out loud. I did write this book and I did illustrate this book. So technically, I suppose it's true, but I don't make a living as an illustrator for anybody else.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, but I mean, even your own book, like, it looks amazing.
Thank
to have
you.
Both skills is really, it's really rare to have both skills. So that's really, really cool for you and for everybody else. So I don't know, can you tell us a little bit more about, you know, how important it is for you? Obviously, you created your own illustrations, you had a vision in your head of what things look like for the story, but how important do you think the illustrations are in your book to understand the whole message?
Well, when the idea came to me to write this book, I thought, you know what, I'm just going to try to illustrate it myself, and I thought it would be fun. But it was much harder than I expected. I took lessons from a professional illustrator by the name of Smile. You should really check out their work. But I took lessons, and it took me 2 years. 2 years to to do illustrations that I really felt proud of. It is no joke to illustrate a book.
Yeah.
But I'm extremely proud of it. And I'm very happy that I was able to have full control about how I wanted the book to look. The main character looks a lot like me. The grandparents look like my parents. There are a couple of characters at the end of the story that look exactly like my children. My husband's there too. So it was very, very important to show just the love I have for my family and to have it come across in the illustrations.
As a bilingual mother, you know, of course, you came to us through Catherine Canning, who we had in the podcast maybe a year ago. Do you get a sense that there's a really strong bilingual community here in Madrid? Of course, with many languages, but particularly of English and Spanish.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I mean, when I was growing up in the 80s and 90s, I felt like the only freak who spoke two languages in the whole country. And now you can't take the metro without listening to people speak multiple languages, mostly English. And also there's this increase in bilingual public schools, and people now value native accents more than ever. I mean, when I was little, I guess it wasn't really that important to people. I remember going to school in a standard, normal Spanish school. And in our English class, people made fun of my accent. And they say, why do you speak weird? And I had to fake. Yeah, it's true. In English class, I had to fake a bad Spanish accent so I wouldn't make fun of. And
oh, my God.
I know. It's sad. And I felt so embarrassed. But my children now go to also normal, public, non-bilingual school. And they don't get made fun of for their accents. They're celebrated. And their English teachers, they use them as examples for the rest of the class, you know, because they know that kids benefit, especially young kids, they benefit from hearing native accents because their minds are still so flexible. Their ears, they can imitate sounds way better when they're young. So, yeah, to answer your question, I definitely see that Madrid is becoming an increasingly bilingual city, which is great.
Some people think that if you speak another language, you get exposed to new concepts, it might change the way you think. Is that how you feel as well?
Yeah, for sure. Definitely agree on that. And I always suspected that I had two different personalities according to which language I was speaking. And I read in articles that it is backed by science. It is true that people who speak multiple languages do tend to have multiple personalities, which I think is really cool. And you're right. Learning new languages teaches you new words, and words become concepts, and concepts become different ways of thinking. So I think it's fantastic.
And thank you so much for being here with us, Laura. It's been amazing.
Oh, thank you so much.
Laura.
Thank you so much. I can't express how grateful I am. Thank you.